from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joining us right now, we got two legendary Giants sitting right next to each other. You're all used to Tiki Barber. You're bored now by him because he's with us all the time.
Because you hear me every single day on WFA.
Every day, but we love you.
I don't think they can be bored by Tiki, though. I ain't
And now we're joined by the great Justin Tuck. Justin, so Tiki never bored you in the locker room?
Not at all.
Always entertaining?
Tiki was that type of dude where it's like, man, I was a rookie and he's had the perfect locker set up.
Yes.
So it's like you had to like walk by his locker to go to like the anything from a bathroom, lunchroom. He had the perfect setup. So it was more like an awe. I didn't know any better. I was a 21-year-old kid, and you walk by Tiki's locker, it's like, one day I'm going to have that locker.
Who ended up getting his locker?
Well, we built a new stadium, so no one. Right. He was the last one to have that locker.
That's right. Oh, man.
So you're here. You're doing a couple of panels.
Yeah.
What are your panels that you're doing? One is on NIL, and the other one is?
Well, we're doing the 100 Giants panel
later today. Oh, the 100th anniversary.
Yeah, 100th anniversary.
Right. Yeah, it's actually cool. We talked about this a couple of months ago when they had the event. The event was fantastic.
Yeah.
And celebrating 100 years. I know what it's been like to be a Giant my whole career, celebrating Wellington Mara's legacy and the legacy of this team. But talk about the 100th anniversary and what it means to you. I mean, you're a Giant for life as well, obviously a Super Bowl champion. But tell us what that means to you.
Listen, I think, I don't know, I still can't put it into words, right? If you think about, and you know better than I know, right? But the legacy of the Giants football and all the great names that has worn that jersey, to be a part of something like this is astronomically special. I'm a kid from Kelton, Alabama, man. I don't identify with all of this hoopla around me playing football. As a kid, that's all I knew. That was my pastime. That was the only way I could, you know, I played football to get an education. I played football because I didn't want to stay in the house with my sisters and my brother. So now to be getting this type of exposure from something I did as was a passion and was so fun, you know, it's just hard to put into words. But when I look at that night we were there, just looking at the panel that we were on and seeing the people, I grew up watching LT, you know, Banks, Carson. I grew up watching, you know, obviously as a high school player, I grew up watching Tiki and how he, you know, carried him. These are the type of things that just, I feel like I'm still a kid in this game, or at least I identify as a kid in this game, because those memories are still very vivid of me watching Giants football as a kid from Kelton, Alabama.
What team did you, were you a Giant fan as a kid in Alabama?
I was a Crimson Tide fan, okay. First of all. And then it was like you.
Why did you not go there, by the way?
That's a longer story. a lot longer story.
I mean, you saying you hate Nick Saban?
No. He didn't Alabama was on probation and Notre Dame. Alabama was on probation and Notre Dame recruited me on accident. So that's a lot longer story.
Right.
But
it worked out.
It definitely worked out. And for me, as a Giants fan, I just love defense. I love watching LT. And, like, I didn't know anything about the history of LT. But my dad would tell me all these stories about great Giants and great defense. I grew up, honestly, my three players was LT, Reggie White, and Bo Jackson.
Wow.
So
good choices.
Yeah.
Did you always, even when you were at what age did you start playing football? Let me start there, actually.
I started playing in ninth grade. I was a basketball player before that.
Okay, so you were basketball was your first love or just the first sport you started playing?
First love, yeah.
Could you have gone pro if you stuck with it?
I don't know if I could have went pro because I didn't – I grew 6 inches in the summer, so I went from playing point guard to playing post in one summer.
Wow.
So everyone thought I was going to be 7 foot. When that was on the trajectory, yes, I thought I could play in the league. But, like, I played against some phenomenal basketball players in our little small town in Alabama. I think there's four guys who played in the NBA that I played against or played with. And I, you know, I won Player of the State twice, so I feel like I would have been okay. But like, yeah, you know, I like hitting people more than I like. You know,
and you can't do that.
Yeah,
you
might exactly.
Be, you might still be.
I'd have been like the Charles Oakley of the league. That's been me.
When you transition to football, because I'm so curious about this, and I asked Dinky too, were you right away a defensive player? Did you move all over? Like, where did you play?
Again, I grew up in Kelvin, Alabama. We barely made the, you know, 11 people on the inside. I think we had 24 people on our team, so I had to play everything. I started, honestly, this is a true story. I started out playing quarterback because I was a baseball player. I could throw the ball. But then someone like me on the other side hit me, and I was like, meh. I don't want to have 6'5", 270 hitting me.
Right.
So I quickly went to linebacker and honestly loved being in the middle of the field. And then when I got to college, you know, literally Greg Madison told me they don't play linebackers, they play rush the ends. And I went to play rush the ends.
Well, that's where I want to go. I mean, everybody knows your career here. We don't need to rehash that. I'm more interested, one, because you're a great guy. Your post-career life is just awesome. I mean, I'm serious. For those that don't know, this gargantuan football player works at Goldman Sachs now. I mean, it's not like I'm just going to try to manage people's money. And you made this ridiculous transition into the financial sector. First of all, how did that happen? And then I know how it's going, but tell people how it's going.
I mean, how it happened, again, being in those NFL locker rooms, you see people. I was one of them, right? I was 21 years old with $3 to my name, and then the next day I had seven figures. What do I do with that?
Right.
And you got everybody coming out of the woodwork giving you advice, whether it was good intention advice or predatory advice. I didn't know how to decipher that. So as I continued to my career in the NFL, I constantly got these questions because everyone looked at me as one of the smart guys on the team.
Because you went to Notre Dame.
Yeah. So like, I constantly got these questions, and it just got me very interested in researching and learning more about it. So I started doing that, and by the time I was in this mood of retirement, I made relationships with everybody you want to make relationships in the financial sectors.
Right.
So, you know, when I retired, I went back to work and got my MBA, and the rest is history. But Goldman called me, and it was based off of something I did in football. But one of their chief executive officers really took a liking to me because I did something for his son at one of these Giants events. And that's kind of how it got started for me as far as being in Goldman. And how's it going? Listen, I think finance is the other F word that's for contact sport. I know I play football, but there's another contact sport in finance. And it's the only thing that I've seen outside of sports that it allows you to feel that rush.
Yeah.
I was talking backstage just a minute ago about some of the trades I've had to do, and obviously I can't talk about them here. But it's like when you're about to hit that keyboard to send this out, it's like your hand is shaking because you got to, you know, this has to be right. Haven't had that type of pressure. Football for me was just like, hey, I'm playing in the backyard.
And it's instinct.
It's instinct.
Yeah, you train and train and train.
This is people's livelihoods. This is compliance out the wazoo. This is it's a lot of different things that I wasn't necessarily exposed to as a kid or through sports that has found that same rush.
And also, I mean, obviously your notoriety, your celebrity helps in that regard. And you know, I wonder, like, when people see you and they you're their financial advisor, are they like, man, or are they like, damn?
It's funny because when I first started, you know, at Goldman, you got to make your own call. They're not giving you anything.
Yeah.
So it's like you're cold calling and you're basically going through the internet searching for people who you can talk to, you don't have experience with or exposure to, or they don't have a Goldman account, et cetera, et cetera. And I was cold calling people, and I'll pick up the phone and say, hello, this is Justin Tuck from Goldman Sachs, and I was like, click. I'm like, call back. Hey, this is Justin Tuck at Goldman Sachs Private Wealth, click. And then I'll shoot a note, email to the email that was on file for us, whatever, and I get an email back. It's like, oh, this really is Justin Tucker. I was like, I said that twice on the phone, and you hung up in my face. And everybody thought it was like a prank call.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, for a couple months there, it was rough sledding. But you know, now it's like, hey, I've been exposed to a lot of things that a lot of our clients won't expose you to. Everybody wants to be in sports. Everybody wants to kind of have an insider in, like, into like what's going on in this world. And so I think that has allowed me to kind of get into some rooms that maybe I shouldn't have got in as early in my career.
And it's really interesting because I see, so I was with J.J. Watt yesterday, and he's one of like multiple athletes, Tom Brady did this, that have started investing in sports teams.
Yep.
So JJ is over at Burnley and
yeah,
I
don't have the same. My checking and savings is not set up to steal a line from Kevin Hart. My checking and savings is not set up like Tom and JJ.
Right. I'm not even talking about you doing it. I'm just saying it's become this new line of investing in sports.
Yeah.
Which is these European soccer teams or other soccer leagues or women's sports, you know, tennis leagues, pickleball leagues, etc.
Tiki has made this a financial acumen.
Well, that's what's interesting to me. It's interesting
I think some people love sports, but your life
is very unique.
But it speaks to how powerful sports is. It's a diversified asset. It's something that literally, you know, countries and people who normally wouldn't get together, and it's such a phenomenal thing. And plus, I mean, I don't know how much you guys have paid attention to it, but valuations in these sports teams are only going up.
Right.
It's like prime real estate. I mean, they're not making any more of them. The NFL is not going to go out and make five more teams.
Nope.
You know? So like, it's prime real estate.
Now, Justin, you are obviously very smart financially. One of the things we loved about you as a Giant fan was how much you hated the Cowboys, hated the Eagles.
You said hated as in like past.
Well, all right, so I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. Okay.
If poised with the choice and the Eagles offered you $1 million more to sign where, would you do what Saquon did and sign with the Philadelphia Eagles?
I'm not going to badmouth Saquon in any regard. It's a business. We all understand that. So I wish him nothing but the best. But for me personally, I did get offered deals from teams that offered me more money than even the Raiders did. And I'll be honest with you, the reason why I went to the Raiders is twofold. One, they were in Silicon Valley, and I was getting exposed to something that I knew was going to help me in the transition in my career, because I didn't have those relationships in Silicon Valley. Three reasons. That the Raiders franchise was one of those story franchises I felt like I could be a part of bringing back. And that was, you know, Charles Woodson talking that nonsense into my head. And three, I knew we weren't going to play the Giants. Because we had just played them the year before. I knew I wasn't going to play long enough for us to go through that cycle of playing again. So that was the three reasons why I went to Raiders. But, yeah, I got offers from teams. You know, a lot of jerseys out here of those teams that I could have played for more money. My thing was, I love the fact that the Giants took a chance on me, a guy come out of Notre Dame that had an ACL injury. They didn't know how I was going to respond, et cetera, et cetera. And my career there, obviously playing with the likes of Tiki, Eli, Michael Strahan, winning two Super Bowls. That part of it, I didn't want to tarnish that.
You know what's funny? I was thinking about, as you were saying this, and I'm not a Giant fan, but tell me if I'm wrong here.
Okay. He's a Jet season ticket holder, by the way.
I am, but
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
It's okay. I
may be a Jet season ticket holder and scarred and all that, but I was in the building when you guys won the first Super Bowl. And I'll never forget one of the conversations me and Beningo were having during that game. We looked at each other and said, the MVP of this game is either Justin Tucker or Michael Strahan. That's how we felt. Now, I understand why Eli won it, and he deserves it, and he was great.
Sure.
I think that impact would not have been impacted if he played for Dallas or Philly. Like, I think you are so beyond that, that even if you did make that decision to play for a rival, you'd still be here, and everyone would be like, oh, yeah, that's the multi-time
champ. Because he won two
champ.
Super Bowls.
Yes!
But for me, honestly, and thank you, I appreciate that, but that didn't even venom in my head. It wasn't the fact that I thought that, like, New York was not going to accept me as one of their sons anymore. It was more about being authentic to who I was. And I didn't feel like I could go down to Dallas and be authentically, because I would have been playing the Giants, and I was like, in my brain, it would have been like, I don't want the Cowboys to win.
Wow.
I'm playing against the Giants. I really don't want us to win.
Wow.
And again, I'm not putting any slight. The Cowboys, if I'd have got drafted to the Cowboys, it would have been probably the same against the Giants. But the fact of the matter is this. God put me here. I identify as a Giant. And that will never change, no matter what. You know, Mr. Mayor and Mr. Tisch could do something I disagree with. I still will ride or die for the Giants until my last breath here. And, like, anybody who had an argument with me, I guarantee you, one, I'm going to win. I don't know. My lawyer might not want me to say this.
I'm going to
win physically and mentally on that. So, listen, it is what it is. I wore this blue for a reason. And, you know, but thank you for that. And I do think I should have beat Eli in Super Bowl MVP.
Oh, yeah, Aaron.
That's what I'm talking
about. Me and E have that. We go back and forth about that all the time.
You know what's so funny? Like, Tom Brady makes jokes now about Eli, about I couldn't beat Eli. And I'm thinking to myself, for those of us that watch the game, It's not that he couldn't beat Eli. No offense to him. It's because he couldn't beat the Giant pass rush. It's because you gave it. He saw ghosts.
Yeah.
You talk about seeing ghosts?
Yeah,
he saw ghosts that day.
Well, here's how I always end this argument about should I win MVP, should Eli, it don't matter. We don't win that game without Eli playing the way he played.
Right? Yes.
I could have played the same exact way, and we would have lost that game. I could have had a phenomenal, I could have had three more sacks, and we could have still lost that game. If Eli doesn't do what he did, we don't win the game. So somebody says something like, well, would you have rather won MVP and lost? I'm like, what planet are you from? Like, there's absolutely no way. So the fact that Eli did what he did, we won two Super Bowls. I would rather have two Super Bowl victories than two Super Bowl MVPs and have no trophy.
Amen. Justin, great having you on. Enjoy it.
Thank you for having me.
Justin Tuck, the could have been MVP from one of the Super Bowls against the New England Patriots.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.